Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Okay, let's try it one more time. If you have a Bible, we lift it up and say word. One more time. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens, because we take notes on our bulletin. Bulletin. Okay, we have one more thing to raise up. If you have a cell phone, can we turn it off? Please turn your cell phone or pager off so it doesn't disrupt us during the service. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Please turn to Hebrews 11. Verse 24. Hebrews 11. We are in the middle of closing out a series on faith, raw faith, R-A-W. R stands for rely. Faith relies on the, everybody say facts. Say facts. And the facts are found in the Bible. Faith does not rely on your feelings, it relies on facts, and the facts are in the Bible. After faith relies on the facts, faith takes action. Everybody say action. Without works, faith is dead. Faith relies on the facts. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then the Bible says, without works, faith is dead. So faith has to act. The W in raw faith stands for watching what God does. After you rely on the facts and you act, then God does something. And what God does is bigger and more incredible than what you do. But we're not going to talk about the W of watching today. We're going to talk about another W. The W of waiting. Everybody say waiting. The title of the message is Weight Training. Weight Training. Okay? Hebrews 11:24. See, a lot of times we get caught up in doing stuff. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. I got to go do that. When I was all my life, I've been real hyper, wanting to always be around people. I love people. I love stuff moving. I can't sit still, and I'm always out looking for people to talk to. I talk to people all the time. And now that I'm getting older, I love to sit home and do nothing. Put a blanket over my legs. Get some tea. Just do this. I love that. How many old people love that? That's the bomb. Doing nothing. Turn the TV on. Turn ESPN on. Matter of fact, some serious football games on this week. I don't know about that. Okay. But to do nothing. And a lot of times, the devil will use three things to get us to sin or walk by sight. Faith does not walk by sight. We walk by faith, the Bible says. What the devil does, he'll entice us with three things. And these are three things we're going to wait on or say no to. One is man's praise. Man's, the three P words. Man's praise. Oh, you're the man. Oh, I am? And we walk away from God. The next one is man's pleasure. Man's pleasure. Money, drugs, women, fame, whatever it is, cars, houses. And the third one is man's pressure. People will pressure you into sin. People will pressure you into walking by sight versus walking by faith. Let me read a few things. I'm gonna refer to praise, pleasure, and pleasure as the three P's instead of keep saying them over and over again. Man's three P's are seen by the eyes. God's three P's are seen by faith. See, man will say, here it is, but what God's praise and pleasure, you have to by faith see it. Sometimes it's invisible. Man's three P's are selfishly motivated. God's three P's are spiritually motivated. If someone's pressuring you to something, it's because they want something. If you do something according to the flesh, it's because you want something. We walk by faith because of what God wants. Man's three P's bring temporary satisfaction. God's three P's have eternal benefits. I'm going to go to this party. I'm going to dance. And then I'm going to go home and be mad because I couldn't dance. Everyone laughed at me. Or whatever. Temporary. God's three P's, his pleasure, his praise is eternal. Man's three P's appeal to the natural self, the physical, the emotional, the mental, the self. God's appeal to the spiritual. Man's three P's lead to death. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man and in the end leads to death. It doesn't mean that if you have fun, you're going to die, but it means that it doesn't bring any spiritual eternal benefit. It's just going to end up going into the ground. God's three P's and walking by faith lead to life and life eternal. Are you guys with me? Waiting. Many times things happen, God's pressuring us, and God says, do nothing but wait. Wait. Say nothing. In the story we're going to look at, five verses, we're going to look at three verses. Moses decided to wait and bypass man's pleasure, bypass man's praise, and not succumb to man's pressure so he can walk by faith. Let's look at what it says in Hebrews 11:24. It says, by faith, when Moses became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Let's read again. By faith, when Moses became of age, he said no to be called Pharaoh's daughter, son. He says, no, no, no. Now you have to understand something. When Moses was growing up, Moses was born of a Jew. His mother put him in a basket. Pharaoh's daughter found him, adopted him, and he was raised in Pharaoh's home. In Moses' life, during Moses' life, the Egyptian culture in North Africa was the most advanced culture on the face of the planet. They had electric batteries. They did medical operations. They knew engineering. They knew math. They knew astrology. They had law. They designed the pyramids, which still people can't figure out how they did it. They had underground lighting systems down into the bottom of the pyramids. When the pharaoh died, they took out his organs, his brain, put him in canisters, mummified his body, embalmed his body, put it in three gold coffins, one inside of another, put it down into the bottom of the pyramid with chariots and gold and drawings of soldiers on the wall, so when he came into the afterlife, he had all these things to live for. Now, even though he wasn't going to raise from the dead, still they were very intelligent, very educated, very wealthy, very sophisticated. And Moses was Pharaoh's daughter's son. He had it all. He was the man. And he had all this fame, all this praise, all these people that could have said, you the man, you the man. And he says, you know what? I'm going to walk away from that because of what God wants me to do. Man, God will use man's praise to get you to do anything. Tell you you're good looking, you're smart, you're intelligent, you're gifted, you're valuable to the company, you'll do this. And the devil will use our desire for man's praise to get us to not walk by faith, but to walk by sight. In other words, we will bend corners with God so we can hear a man tell us we're good. So we can hear a man tell us we're cute. I mean, look at all the things we do physically to our body just so people can say we're pretty or we're good looking. Stuff we'll wear, stuff we'll do to ourselves. And it's all motivated by my flesh. Now, it's not necessarily bad to be in shape. It's not bad to necessarily try to make yourself look good. But if you do it to the point where you're going over the line what God would want you to do, you're going too far. Turn to John chapter 2. Keep your finger here. Keep your finger here. We're going to come back. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, it says in John chapter 2, verse 23, look what Jesus says. When Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he did. Ooh, he raised someone from the dead. Ooh, he healed someone blind. Ooh, he did this. Ooh, he's the man. Verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. In other words, when they were going, oh, you the man, you the man, he said, I know. He didn't go, I am. Watch this. What else do you want me to do? Because I want to hear more of that. Praise is like perfume. You smell it, but you don't drink it. I put some smell good on this morning. And I left my wife was in bed. She was just woke up, and I went over to her. I said, come on, get away from that girl. Scott, go ahead. She's like, get out of here, man. Get out of here. You can smell it, but don't ever drink. Anyone here drink perfume? If you did, you got sick. When people tell you good things about yourself, you know what you do? You listen, but don't drink it. Don't let it go in your heart. Don't let it go in your head. Go, okay, that's cool, that's cool. I'm still a sinner, though. You don't really know the whole story, but I'm glad that's what you think. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 41. Jesus says, I do not receive honor from man, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name. You do not receive me, and if anyone comes in his own name, him you receive. How can you believe who you... How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? In other words, when people are looking to get credit from other people, how can you believe them? Because they're motivated by credit from other people. And not get, how can you not believe the one who gets credit from God? People's credit changes. People like you for different reasons, don't they? One day they want you to be tall. Then they want you to be short. Then they want you to be heavy. Then they want you to be thin. Then they want you to be smart. Then they don't want you to be smart. Then they want you to live from this neighborhood. Then they want you to do this. And you're like, what do you want? You know what? God is consistent. God don't change. He wants you to be like that. That's why you when you wake up in the morning, you have to say, dear God, what do you want me to do today? And when you go to bed at night, you say, dear God, I want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because if you're waiting from that from man, if you're dependent on that from man, you will go crazy. Because man doesn't know what he wants. Man changes his mind back and forth. They're inconsistent. They want this about you. They like this about you. They don't like this about you. They talk behind your back. They lie. Or you think they're lying. Or you perceive one thing. Man, forget all that. God, what do you want? Because God does not change. Turn to Romans. If you're in John, Acts, two books after John. John, Acts, and Romans. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. It says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is from not from men, but from God. You know why I'm a Jew? I'm a Jew because my heart has been circumcised and I praise God from the heart. It doesn't matter what you have on in your body, clothes, your body. It's what's in your heart that counts. It's what's in your heart. And this guy, and a Jew is someone whose praise is from God because it's in his heart. Spiritually, he has a relationship with God. So the praise of man can get you off. I want to hear the hand claps. I want to hear that of boys. No, I want to be motivated by hearing God say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to be motivated by. Turn back to Hebrews, please. Hebrews 11. The other thing that the devil will use to get you to walk away from God or not walk by faith are the pleasures of man. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sin's pleasures are passing. What are sin's pleasures? Passing? Say passing. Okay, let me list a few of them. Fun, laughter, satisfying anger, satisfying jealousy. We like to do that, don't we? We love, just say amen. When you get mad, you want to satisfy the anger and you want to vent. You want to satisfy jealousy, so you talk about people. You want to satisfy envy, so you talk about people. Another, satisfying your ego, satisfying your lust, satisfying greed, getting high, getting drunk, money. These are all the pleasures, and there's a bunch more, of man. But those pleasures are short-lived. And believe me, some pleasures are good. Playing sports. I went skydiving one day. And I went to speak someplace, and I didn't plan. I was going to speak in Canada, and it was in the mountains, and they happened to have a skydiving school there or whatever. Area, planes, people falling out of the sky. So I went to the guy. I said, look, man, I want to jump out of a plane. He said, well, call us up. Give us your money. We'll throw you out. So I went, give him the money. We go up 2 miles up. Okay, and we're all strapped on, and everyone's in the plane all screaming, getting all jacked up. I'm praying. I'm like, forget screaming. I ain't going to help nobody. And right as we get up to 12,000 feet, just about 2 miles up, the plane levels off, you know, it's going, and right as it hits 12,000 feet, it goes, it sounds like it stops. And so I looked at the guy behind me, because I'm strapped on, the instructor is strapped on me. And so we're both jumping out together. So I turned to him, I said, hey man, has anyone ever punked out, like right now? And he go, oh yeah, it was a 12-year-old girl. like I'm just checking, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm just checking. So we go over, and make a long story short, we jump out. And the first, anybody here skydive? Okay, how long is the rush? For 5 seconds? Maybe, right? You jump out, and you go up to 120 miles an hour in about 5 seconds. And so that initial, hey, what am I doing? I'm crazy now. that initial jump out is just like it's unbelievable because you're 2 miles up. I mean, it is really kind of dumb if you think about it. And actually, I'm on the ground. I'm looking at, before I went up, I'm looking at binoculars, and all you see is little black specks. And I'm thinking, those are people. They're humans. And so you jump out, and for about 5 seconds, three, not even, 2 seconds, you go from zero to 125 miles an hour. Wow. And then you just fall for, I don't know, 30 minutes, 45 seconds. But you don't feel falling. All you feel is yourself sitting in one place with a bunch of wind in your face. That's what it is. You just, I mean, that's all it is. And your skin is going back like this. Okay, so let's say the initial 3 seconds, and then after that, maybe 40 seconds, which is really just wind. But the initial 3 seconds is where you feel the sensation of you going away from the plane, where you can notice it. Then you, and I'm doing this, you know, they got the video camera. We paid a guy to take a video, so I got video of this, right? And then they pull the parachute. After that, it's boring. You're just sitting there going like this. I paid $970 for this. And so now we're just, you know, and then I realized here I am hanging a mile up, and it dawned on me, I don't even have a parachute. I'm hooked onto him. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to look at the dude saying, you know, everything cool between me and you? So he starts spinning me around, you know, doing the little trying to make me sick thing. And it worked. My legs fell asleep because the straps cut the circuit. Both my legs were totally gone. I'm nauseous. And he's like, you wanted me to twirl you again? I'm like, no. I hated it. The first 45 seconds was great. The devil's going to tell you, we'll have so much fun. We'll have so much fun. We're going to have so much fun. It's going to come and it's going to go. And oh, no, let's do it again. It's going to come and it's going to go. Let's do it again. And here you are 40, 50 years old. And you're still waiting for it to, the fun to come and not go away. It always goes away. It always goes away. It is temporary. Turn to Hebrews 12:11. Hebrews 12:11 says, what Moses did is Moses says, I am going to walk away from the pleasure. I'm going to walk away from the luxury of living with Pharaoh. I'm going to walk away from all the food, all the money, all the power that Pharaoh offers me, and I'm going to endure the afflictions of my brothers, the Jews. And the devil's going to tell you, take the easy road. You walk by faith. You have to give all this stuff up. But Moses knew that by faith, if he walked away from man's pleasures by faith, that he was going to have God's pleasures and benefits. Let's look at Hebrews 12:11. Look what it says. It says, no discipline or chastening seems joyful for the present. Sometimes you're going to have to make a sacrifice, but painful instead. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know what that means? I'm going to make a sacrifice and I'm not going to go hang out. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to get high. I'm not going to cheat on my taxes. I'm not going to do all this stuff. I'm going to be honest. And even though the devil's telling me I can enjoy this, I realize that by faith I have to obey God. And at the time it may seem painful because it's perception. But if I learn, the benefits of righteousness in my life are going to far outweigh the pleasure of man. You know what you should do? One time I was very discouraged and I won't say depressed because it was, you know, a short period of time, but I was feeling depressed, discouraged. I was a failure. The devil was telling me all this negative stuff. You're no good. Don't get out of bed. It's not going to be nothing. If you get out of bed, it's just going to have a bad day. What's the use? Stay in bed. You know you're a failure. You mess everything up anyway. Da, da, da. And I was, oh, man. And then I said to myself, wait a minute. I heard this yesterday. You know what I'm talking about? I heard this last year. Matter of fact, he'd been telling me this all my life. And I was laying there thinking about this. I said, you know what, devil? I'm going to lay here for one more minute because I don't feel like getting up right now. And I'm going to let you talk your yin-yang. But when I get up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write down everything you're saying. You know what I did? I wrote it down. You are a failure because. Why? Your church isn't the biggest in the world. So? You're not 6 feet tall. So? Your hair doesn't flow like Britney's does. That one was for some of y'all, okay? Because you don't have this kind of figure. So? If you write down what the devil tells you to get you discouraged, let me tell you, and do this exercise, trust me, they will be so stupid, you won't write them. You'll be like this. Yeah, I'm upset because, man, I can't write that. That's dumb. Why am I worried that my lips are thin? I mean, what does that mean? They're dumb because the devil is so good. You're worrying about nothing. So here's what I want you to do. When you think about man's pleasure, all the things you're going to give up if you walk with God. Yeah, if I walk with God, man, I got to give up all this fun. What fun? Well, means I can't have sex till I get married. Okay, you give up herpes, AIDS, gonorrhea, and all the other stuff that's out there. Creepy crawlers. Wow. Man, devil, I don't know if I give up cheating, getting stalked by five women at one time because you told them all that you were the only man. All this stuff. I got to give all that up? Oh, what about money? Oh, yeah, I give up lying. Not that if you have a lot of money, you're lying, cheating, stealing, but if the devil tells you to get it that way, I give up lying. I give up the potential of going to jail, the IRS coming to take everything I own. Yeah, I give all that up. Write down the pleasure. Oh, what about, oh, I want to go party, man. I want to have fun. Okay, I give up being hungover, puking in the alleyway, going to drug rehab. Is there a godly way of doing all that stuff? Absolutely. That's my point. When the devil's trying to lure you to do it by the flesh, don't listen to him. Write it down and say, you know what? It is always better to follow the Lord. Write this proverb down. Proverbs 10:22. The blessings of the Lord make one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Amen. You don't got to lie, cheat, and steal to get what I want you to have. You don't got to cut corners to get what I want you to have. You don't need to be half naked to get the man I want you to have. You don't need to be half naked to get the woman I want you to have. Be balanced there, you know what I'm saying? Just trust me. Trust me. The last thing is that Moses forsook was the pressure of man. Look at verse 27. Hebrews 11:27 says, by faith Moses forsook, walked away, said no to Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was going to lead 2 million people out of Egypt, and the king was saying, I'm going to kill you, you're going to suffer, you better stay here. And Moses says, you know what, you're pressuring me to stay here. Mm-mm. By faith, I'm going to walk away. When man is wanting you to do this, you got to be able to say, you know what, mm-mm, I'm going to trust God. Man will never press you to do anything that's not going to help him. Whoever's pressuring you to do something, they're trying to get something out of it. When I was a kid, we used to argue with each other. You better do this, and you better do this, and you know, roll your neck, and you better do this, and all this stuff. And we used to say, I don't have to do anything but be black and die. Some of y'all might be able to relate to that. That's all I got to do. I don't have to do what you want. Two things. I'm going to be black the rest of my life. And I'm going to die. Those are the two things I got to do. And when man is pressuring you, when the world is pressuring you, when the fashion trends are pressuring you, and the music trends are pressuring you, you say, wait. I don't need to be pressured by them. I need to walk by faith with God. And I could say, no, I don't have to do it. Turn to James. You're in Hebrews. Turn to James chapter 4. Is the next book from Hebrews. James 4. It says, 4:1, where do wars and fights and pressure and arguments come from? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? I want this. You know the only reason you get mad, the only reason we get mad, one simple reason, is because you don't get your way. No, I'm going to say it again. Little argument going over there. The only reason you get mad, and the only reason you have arguments, and the only reason you get frustrated is because you don't get your way. Think about it. You're driving down the street. You want to go 70. Miss Daisy's going 47. Why are you mad? Because you want to go 70. The other day, I was the one driving slow. Because someone was behind me, I was waiting for them to catch up. So I wanted to drive slow. So it didn't bother me if someone was in front of me driving slow, because I wanted to drive slow. If I wanted to drive fast, and the person in front of me was driving slow, I would be upset. What this says, when people are pressuring you, they want something. It may not be for them, for whatever reason, but that is not your problem. God wants something from you. Turn to Romans. You're in James. Go back to the John, Acts, Romans. Go begin the New Testament. Romans chapter 2. God does not pressure us. He is so good. Romans 2, 4. Romans 2, 4. It says, do not despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and patience. Don't turn your back on God's patience and love for you. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Has God ever yelled at you? He has not. God has never yelled at me. I've messed up a whole lot of times. All he does is do this. Hey, Miles, what were you thinking? That was really stupid. I know, God, huh? You told me not to do that either, huh? I told you 23 times yesterday. Don't do that again, boy. Okay, God, I'm sorry. Why did you say that? What were you thinking? Don't say that again. I'm sorry, God. That's how God is. We sin, and you know what God's saying? Hey, man, I love you. Oh, not yet, God. We sin. Hey, man, I love you. Not yet, God. We sin. Hey, man, I want to bless you. Not yet, God. We sin. Hey, you don't want her. I got somebody better for you. Let me. No, not yet, God. We sin. And God's just like, whenever you want. Don't do that deal. You're going to lose all your money. Whenever you want. Don't hang up those people. They're drug addicts. Don't whatever you want. That's okay. But whenever you're ready, I'm right here. That's God. That's God. He don't pressure you. I may pressure you. I may talk loud. I may try to put a guilt trip on you. I'm sorry. I'm going to do it again, but I'm sorry. But God, he says, look, whenever you're ready to repent, I'll forgive you. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me of my sin. Circumcise my heart with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take over my life. I'm sorry. And God will say, that's all I wanted to hear. Come on in. And he'll forgive you. In a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. Maybe it's your time going into the new year. God, I want to be forgiven. I want to be your child. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that all of us are children of God's wrath because of his sin. But Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for our sin. And if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. God is patiently waiting and wooing us to himself through his goodness. He doesn't pressure us. Man's pressure. We have to, by faith, say, I'm not going to succumb to man's pressure. I want to wait on God. Now I'm going to tell you four ways to do it. Get a pen out. First, you have to believe that you must do it. You have to believe that you must do it. Just write down Isaiah 64, 4. You have to believe that you have to say no and wait. Listen to this verse. Amazing verse. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has I seen any God beside you who acts for those who wait on him. You have to believe that there are future rewards. Hebrews 11, 24. We just read that about Moses. You have to believe that you can resist sin and wait. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. If you're going through something, you're not the only one. And God is faithful, who will always provide a way out. Every time. If you're being tempted, always know this. There's a way out. And God is saying, you can do it. Even if you're saying, I can't, God, it's too much. He's going, no. I know how much you can take. And guess what? There's a way out right there. Matter of fact, there's a way out over there too. And matter of fact, there's a way over there too. I can't, God. Four ways you can do it. One, walk away. Write down Luke 4:30. Walk away. You can read that if you're so inclined. Walk away. Let me give you a visual. Temptation. Very simple. I'm doing it again. Temptation. One more time. Temptation. I can't. You can walk away. The next thing, you can run. Right? Genesis 39, 7 to 13. Genesis 39, 7 to 13. Read that later. Joseph ran from a woman who tried to pull his clothes off. She wanted to lie with him. I told you about this last week. Genesis 39, 7 to 13. Let me give you an illustration. Temptation. Temptation. Okay. You can walk. Oh, man. Or you can run. Third thing. Say as little as possible. What do you think?
Nothing.
Do you want to get high with us?
No.
Do you want to do this?
No.
How come?
Because I don't.
Can you explain yourself?
No.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No.
Goodbye. Write these verses down. Proverbs 10:19 and Proverbs 17:28. Proverbs 10:19 and Proverbs 17:28. Let me read them to you. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The more you talk, the closer you're going to get to sinning. Not only by what you say, by what your mouth is going to get you into. Your mouth is going to write a check your behind can't cash. When someone's trying to entice you into sin, entice you, and they want you to come on and you start talking and trying to negotiate your way out, let me tell you something. The natural man cannot understand things that are spiritually discerned. If you feel you have to convince other people that what you're doing is right to them, you won't. All your friends can go, I don't get it. That's okay. Even your Christian friends might say, I don't get it. That's okay, as long as you and God get it. So you're going to get to a point where you're going to go, you know what? I'm just not going. Why? I'm just not going. I'm just not going. I'm just not going. But can you help us? I can't. Goodbye. Say as little. Let me read another verse to you. Proverbs 17:28, the one I just gave you. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace, and when he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. You can be stupid as stupid does as stupid is. And I'm not referring to Forrest Gump at all. Even though he said that, I'm not referring to him at all. You just don't know what you're talking about. Like, we have these negotiations with the meetings, with the building. There's stuff that I never heard of, you know, law stuff, real estate stuff. And I sit in these meetings, and I'm a fairly intelligent brother. But some of the stuff I have never been exposed to, have no idea what they're saying. So what do I do? I don't know what they're talking about. That's right, I agree. Yeah, we should do that. I have no idea what they're talking about. Now I'm listening, because next time I want to know. But, hey, don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut, and no one will know how stupid you are. That's what the Bible says. How does that apply? Is that when you're in a situation you need to get out of, don't talk. Just leave. Say very little or say nothing at all. Who wants to go to the party? Anybody else? Who wants to go over here and do this? Who wants to do this? Hey, what do you think about gossiping? What do you think about da-da-da-da-da? You heard, you know what I heard? I don't know nothing. Don't see nothing. Don't hear nothing. And you walk away. Saying no is a beautiful thing. Saying no to the devil is sometimes so easy and so liberating because you feel all this pressure and you feel all your flesh, your friends, society saying do this, and it's so easy to go. Say nothing. Some of y'all got a decision to make today? Don't make it. Don't make it. What are you going to say? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Nothing. I'm going to pray about it.
What does that mean?
Well, to you, it means I'm going to think about it. I remember I asked a guy to disciple me the first time I got discipled in the Bible. I didn't know anything about being discipled. And someone said, you need to get someone to disciple you, teach you the Bible one-on-one. I was like, huh? So I asked this guy to do it. And he says, he was a big dude. 6'4", 225 pounds.
Big old brother, muscular.
Say, Sherman, I want you to disciple me. He looked down at me. He had glasses. Down at me. I'll pray about it, brother. I was like, you going to pray about it? I want to learn the Bible. What do you mean? Now, I understand why he had to pray about it. He didn't commit himself. He didn't say no. He didn't say yes. He says, you need to wait. I was like, I was upset because I was a young Christian, didn't understand. But then I realized he was doing the right thing. He was waiting. I want to know what God wants. I want to know what you want. I want to do what he thinks is good for you. I want to do what God wants me to do because I want to do it right. When the devil's putting pressure on you, when you entice, step back, go. Not now. It's so liberating. So liberating. Some of y'all today need to make a commitment to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You need to say, I am willing today to ask Christ to be my Lord and walk away from all the other stuff I was living for to whatever degree God wants you to. He may not change everything in your life. Your career, your interests may not change, but how you live your life will. So you need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to accept you as my Savior, that you would forgive me of my sin, because I know through your goodness, you've been trying to tell me you love me. You've been trying to bless me through your patience and your goodness, and I've been saying wait to you. I don't want to say wait to you anymore. So in a minute, we're going to pray. If you would like to ask Jesus to be your Savior, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me something like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for my sin. Please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior. Many of you in here have done this already. I want you to be sensitive that there are some people in here who right now are scared to death because they think it's their time. Be praying for them. Try not to be distracting to them. You don't know who they are. So right now I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your love for us, your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we thank you that you give us all the tools to wait, to avoid falling into sin. You tell us that we have the ability to resist and say no. And Lord, there are people here today who have never asked you to be their Savior. They never asked you to be their Lord. They never asked you to forgive them of their sin. If that is you today, I want to ask you right now, in a minute, to pray a simple prayer with me, asking God to forgive you. But as you pray this prayer, you must believe that God loves you and that he has a plan for your life. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like to be saved from hell, forgiven of your sin, pray this prayer with me. In the privacy of your heart, not out loud, pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. But I believe you love me. I believe you died for my sin and rose from the dead. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. Purify my heart. Please be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. The Bible says if you're ashamed of Christ before people, he's going to be ashamed of you. And if you gave your life to Christ, what you said to him is, Lord, I belong to you now. I don't belong to myself. My life belongs to you. And I have no worries about being embarrassed because this is my family. So if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior right now, wherever you're sitting, just stand to your feet and acknowledge that. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. God bless you. If God spoke to you and you answered him and prayed to ask him to forgive you, stand up. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else? This is not a time to worry about being embarrassed because there is no pressure here to be cool. God loves you. So anybody else, stand to your feet if you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Anybody else? Jesus died on the cross. He's asking you now to stand up. That's a good deal. Anybody else? God bless you. Now I'm going to ask all you people who are standing to do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, we want you to come out here and shake my hand. Walk out of your seat right down here to the altar. Come shake my hand. Come on. Amen. Come on down here. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. Come on. We're going to give you something. God bless you. Come shake my hand. What's up, man? God bless you. 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 Very good. Very good. Stay here. Stay here. We want to give you something. Stay here. We want to give you something. If you want to do the fast, go to the bookstore. In 2 days, a new year starts. Your whole new life starts over. Let's do it. Let's do it better next year. Amen. All y'all down here, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It says if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. All your sin is forgiven. Your number one and only responsibility from now on the rest of your life is to obey God. That's it. Just do what he says. We learn that in here. We talk about it every Sunday. We have groups and homes during the week. All designed to help you do this. That's it. If you do what God says, your life will do this. You don't have to figure out what that means. Just do what he says and your life will change. That's all you need to do. And all the junk that's been getting you down, it'll start going away. It is simple as that. Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you for these people. We thank you for their decision. We thank you for their faith. We thank you for their goodness. And we pray that you bless them tremendously today. Change their life. And Lord, I pray that tomorrow night we would have a sober night, we stay out of trouble, we stay away from trouble, and that we would dedicate 2002 to you. I pray as man pressures us to do the wrong thing, that we would be able to say no by faith and say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I want to ask all y'all to do. From you over, I'm going to ask you to walk over there under the screen. Want to give you something? Just walk that way. And from all y'all, you're just going to walk right over there and they're going to give you something. God bless all you. Have a very happy holiday.